Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalms 57 this morning. I encourage you to bring your Bible to church and not just bring it to church. I encourage you to read your Bible. Amen. I encourage you to read your Bible. Amen. Bring it to Sunday school. Hey, we have that at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. This morning, my soul, what a message on tears, or a lesson on tears this morning in the senior adult class. And let me tell you something. I agree with everything he said for two reasons. Number one, because he's right. But number two, because I know it's true. You say, how do you know it's true? Because I've experienced it, amen? And tears will help you today. Well, I'm just not the crying type. Well, you're to pray and ask God to let you be. Because I promise you, it will help you today. And you say, well, I've been raised not to show my emotions. I've been raised not to cry. I've been raised not to talk about anything. It just shows, really, stay with me. It don't show your toughness. It shows your dumbness when you are like that. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you learn to open up and you learn to allow God to see your tears and you learn to pour your heart out to Him, I promise you it will help you. Amen. And when somebody gets sick on their stomach and starts to throw up, I become a groupie. All right? Don't do it in front of me because I'm going to join in with you. Is everybody all right there? Number two, whenever you start to cry, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to slide up beside of you, whether I know what you're crying about or not, and I'm going to cry with you. Amen? Can I just say this? It's scriptural. John 11:35, what did Jesus do? He wept. He cried. And you know what? One reason you might not be seeing done what you want to see done is because you're not crying. Because the Bible said, they that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again bringing his sheaves with it. Maybe the reason you're not seeing what you want to see fulfilled in your spiritual life is because you've not become scriptural in it and learned to weep in it. Hey, maybe I need to preach on that this morning. They that go forth weeping, God give us tears this morning. Amen. Are you in Psalms 57? Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. Psalms 57, I want to show you one verse. And I know I normally preach expository, but the past few weeks I've preached more topical on Sundays. And that's all right because I want to be obedient to the Lord. Psalms 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I'm interested in those first four words. My heart is fixed. And here's what I want to preach to you on today for just a little while. Some things that need to be fixed in our life. Father, I love you today. Lord, you know the need of the service, and I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would illuminate my mind. God, help me, Lord, to preach in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Help me to say nothing that is not guided from you today. God, I pray, Lord, that every word would come from you today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us and speak to our hearts, save the sinners, God, that may be here that's not saved today. God, encourage our hearts. God, thank you, Lord, for the hard work of our people this week in different areas. God, thank you, Lord, for already seeing fruit from that with visitors today. Keep us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Why could he sing? And why could the psalmist give praise? The reason he could was because his heart was fixed. And I want to talk to you just a little while today on a list of some things that need to be fixed in our life. I was thinking about this last Sunday morning. Man, it was good that both of our vans was running in different directions today, picking people people up. But last Sunday morning, Brother Mark and Brother Tim came in, and they said, "Hey, preacher, the white church van, it wasn't acting right this morning. The check engine light came on, and it was spitting and it was sputtering." Now, I don't know about any of y'all, but I knew exactly what they meant when they said it was spitting and sputtering. Amen. They said things is just not running right. You know what I could have done? I could have went out there, I could have opened the hood on it, and I could have looked in there, I could have moved some wires around, and I could have made a great big mess out of the situation. Or I could talk to someone that could diagnose the problem and allow them to fix it. You know what the best thing to do on that situation was? It was to talk to Brother Nicholas and said, "Hey man, why don't you bring that little thing you can plug into there and tell us what's wrong with it and fix it." You know, a lot of times in our life we're faced with situations, and what do we try to do? We try to fix things on our own. I don't know about you, but I think that I can definitely talk for the majority of the men here today. We are fixers in our life. When our wife comes to us and they begin talking about the problem that they're having down at the job, our first reaction is this: "Well, just quit." Simple, man. I fixed the problem. Somebody holler amen. I fixed the problem. And our wife's reaction is this: "I'm not interested in quitting. I just want you to listen to me." Well, if somebody hollered amen real loud right there, and it's probably a newlywed, and he knows that his mother-in-law already has lunch fixed for him today. Watch this. And she says, "I don't want you to fix the problem. I just want you to listen to me." Well, why did you tell me if you didn't want me to fix it? Somebody say amen right there. We're fixers today. When something goes wrong, we immediately go into the mode of trying to fix it. When in reality, a lot of times, what we need to do is turn to the manual and allow the manual to help us. The other day, or it's been more than the other day, it's a couple months ago now, before Madeline and Mason got married, I was working over at their house, and I'd picked up the tractor and took it over there, and I was fixing bush hog with my tractor, and Brother John Dorsey pulled in. He was preaching in the area. We were standing around there talking, and I said, "Hey, let me just make a pass or two right here. Then we'll sit on the front porch and talk a while." So whenever I started to take off, the PTO wasn't going gear. And it made me mad, Brother Greg, because PTO wasn't going gear, and I'd set aside that morning because I needed to get some bush hogging done. Anybody else ever been there? And you know, on newer tractors, it's not like an old tractor where you just reach down there, pull a handle, and it engages the PTO. No, there was this little switch that you flip up over here on the armrest of the tractor, and whenever you flip that up, it tells something else that tells something else that tells something else to go through here and do this and that, and then the PTO comes on. Well, I flipped that switch, Brother Brian, and I pushed it down, and I pulled it back up, and I pushed it back down. And Brother Josh, the third time I pulled it up a little stronger than I did the first two times. About the eighth time I pulled it up, I used my fist to tap on the side of it. Are you with me? I thought, well, I put the seatbelt on, I took the seatbelt off, I put the seatbelt on, and I danced all around. Man, we messed with it and messed with it. Brother John said, "Well, I tell you what," he said, "if we take this off right here, we can look down in there and see that. We can probably unplug this and plug them together to see if this." And I said, "You know what? We probably could, but we ain't." He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "As bad as I hate to say this, I'm going to put it right back on that tractor, and I'm going to drive it right down the road on an older road to the John Deere place, and I'm going to drop it off at the John." "Well, that'll cost you something." I said, "You sound just like Alan Barker." He said, "Well, it will." I said, "You're right. But the truth of the matter is this: it will probably cost me less if I just take it on down there right now than if I wait another hour. Because if I'd have waited another hour, somebody give me a witness. There'd have been a bunch of wires loose. There'd have been stuff tore all to pieces. What did I do?
I took it to somebody that knew what they was doing. And in just a little bit, you know what they done? They fixed it. And yeah, that green means money on John Deere tractors. But anyway, I paid for it and I brought it back. The moral of the story is this. When things are broken, the best thing we can do is take it to someone that knows what they're doing and allow them to fix it. Can I tell you there's some things that need to be fixed today? Just a simple little topical thought and we'll go home. Number one, I would say this to you. And can I just say this before I say that? How many times do we make a bigger mess out of the situation than it ever would have been if we'd have just allowed him to fix it? There's a need, and I've talked to my good buddy David Williams about this for about a week now, and I told him, I said, I'm just trying to get discernment and trying to get wisdom on how to handle the situation, and yesterday I thought I'd come to a conclusion about something, and last night I came up here to the church by myself, and I just sat over there in the chair, and I pray over there a lot because I can look out over the congregation, I see where you're sitting at, and I think about the different needs that you had shared with me, and here's what I just told the Lord last night. I said, God, I don't know how to fix it. I don't exactly know what to do with it. So what I'm going to do is just put it into your hands. And until you say anything else, I'm just going to trust you with it. Some things that need to be fixed. Let me show you two or three. Number one, I would say this. Our heart needs to be fixed with salvation. Our heart needs to be fixed with salvation. What did the Bible say in Romans 10? He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why did God put that verse in the scripture? Here's the reason why. The reason is this, because every man, every boy, every girl, every lady is a sinner today. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3, you know what we'll find in Genesis chapter number 3? That sin entered into this world, and from that moment on, we've got a heart problem, and that heart problem needs to be fixed. It's a problem that I cannot fix on my own. It's a problem that I cannot fix for you. It's a problem that Jesus Christ himself is the only one that can fix. And I'm glad that he said in Romans 10 that if we'd confess our sin to him and we'd believe that he would save us, that he would do that. Our heart needs to be fixed with salvation. David said this. He said, I was shapen in iniquity. You know what David is saying? David is saying this. From the day that I was born a sinner. One thing that every one of us has in common here today, and that is that we are all sinners. There's two types of sinners sitting here today. There's saved sinners and there's lost sinners. But we're all sinners. And the only way that we'll ever make it to heaven, the only way that we'll ever have forgiveness of our sin, the only way that our heart will ever be fixed and back in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ is to be saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heart needs to be fixed with salvation. I want to ask you a question today. Are you saved? Are you saved? What's the first answer that come to your mind right then? If you was to come up to me after service and you say, hey, Brother Jonathan, are you saved? I'm going to say, absolutely. And if you ask me why, here's what I'm going to say to you. Because as a 16-year-old young man, I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. And that mama's religion and daddy's religion and my good works and me going to church would never save me. Oh, but that night I realized that I was lost and on the road to hell. But Jesus said, up a detour at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. And the reason I'm saved today, it's not because I read my Bible. It's not because I preach. The reason that I'm saved today, it's because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to my life. That's why I'm saved. Our heart needs to be fixed with salvation. Number two, watch this. Our head needs to be fixed with Scripture. Our heart needs to be fixed with salvation, but our head needs to be fixed with Scripture. What did the Bible say? 2 Timothy 2:15. Said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say to you. If you say you're saved and you don't have a desire for God's word, something's wrong. Can I say that again? If you say you're saved and you don't have a desire for God's word, something's wrong with you. I'm going to tell you something. I love my Bible today. I love my Bible today. Let me tell you what will fix your head problem today. It's a knowledge of the Word of God today. There is no excuse for not reading our Bible. Absolutely zero. Say, preacher, I can't read. Good, listen to it. Listen to it. I guarantee you probably 99.9%, if not 100% of the people sitting in this room today has a smartphone. And there's Bible apps. There's numerous Bible apps that are free today. You can download that Bible app and listen to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to resonate in your mind. And I'm telling you today, a lot of your problems with your mind can be overcome through the Scriptures of God's Word. Through the Scriptures of God's Word. Can I say this to you today? Our head needs to be fixed with the scriptural knowledge. Ignorance of the Bible creates instability. Ignorance of the Bible creates instability. There's many people today that may read the Bible, but they use the Bible out of context. One thing that just, man, I'm telling you, probably boils my blood more than anything else, Brother Jonathan, is to see Scripture used out of context. Well, you know what? The Bible said this, and because it said this, this is the way it's supposed to be. Well, you show your ignorance many times because you've not even read the whole chapter. You've not read the whole book. You've not studied the manners and customs of the time. I'm going to tell you something today. If you're going to quote the Bible, if you're going to teach the Bible, if you're going to use the Bible as a reference point, use it right, man. Use it right. How do we do that? Here's the way that we do that. We get in it. We get in. Ignorance creates instability. Watch this. Studying, though, creates stamina. Studying creates stamina. Bible study strengthens your faith. Read the Bible, man. Read what God done. Man, you go to reading. Matter of fact, this past Tuesday, we were sitting at the hospital. Many of you know Brother John Brewer's dad has been a preacher for years. We began to talk about Dr. Garris. He knew Dr. Garris well. We began to talk about Dr. Garris that was over Rock of Ages when we was with him. And we began to talk about different messages he preached. One of them was this: head busting runs in my family. There's one of you ought to go listen to it. Head busting runs in my family. One of them was this: what did the sea say when the sea saw? About the children of Israel crossing that night on dry land. What did the sea say when the sea saw? Man, I wonder what the fish looked over at the other fish and said when they saw 3 million walking across on dry ground that night. Boy, when we read the Bible and we study the Bible and we see what God done for those in His day, and then we look where He says God's no respecter of person. If He did it for them, He can do it for us today. The problem is this: we don't believe Him like they did. Everything that God has done in the past, God can do today. The Word of God, study it. It creates a stamina in us. The Bible strengthens our faith. It sharpens our discernment. It steadies our walk. The Word of God, it sharpens your discernment. It sharpens it. When you see somebody that, my wife and I was just talking about this week, has a lack of discernment. And they're supposed to be knowledgeable of the Bible. They're supposed to be grounded in truth. But they have no discernment at all, Brother Brian. And you're looking back going, how did they not see that? How did they not see that? Let me tell you what it is. It might be that they have a form of God denying, a form of godliness denying the power thereof. I'm telling you, you get in the Word of God, and I'm telling you today, it will sharpen your discernment. Watch this. It'll steady your walk. It'll steady your walk. Let me tell you what will help your mind today. The Bible. I've been preaching on the mind now for 4 or 5 weeks on Wednesday nights out of the book of Philippians. And you've heard me say this over and over and over again. This book right here is what will help your mind. Get in it. I mean what I'm fixing to say. The days that I don't study it the way that I should, I know it. The battleground in my mind. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I want you to hear me right here. Everybody listen real good right here. You're not against me and I'm not against you. Now, you may think you're against me. You may think you don't like me. You may think I'm against you and I don't like you. But the truth of the matter is this. If you'll really go back over the past few months and look at your spiritual walk with God, I want to ask you this question. How much have you read your Bible? How much have you prayed? How many times have you fasted and begged God to help you with your mind and to help you spiritually? And if the answer is, preacher, I've not done that at all. It's not that we're wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against a spirit world. And that's the reason, church, our heads need to be fixed with a scriptural knowledge today. Our hearts need to be fixed with salvation. Our head needs to be fixed with scriptural knowledge. But watch this, number three, our hands. Well, our hands need to be fixed with service. He said, my heart is fixed. Our hands need to be fixed with service. The Bible said this in James chapter number 2. He said, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. You should have a desire in your heart to serve Him. You should have a desire in your heart. I wrote this down. Real faith has working hands. A faith that cannot be seen may not be a faith that is real. Our faith should have working hands. Real faith has working hands. Real love has helping hands. What did he say in Galatians 6? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. We learn when somebody's overtaken in a fault, we learn how spiritual people really are. Because the Bible said this, if you're spiritual, you're going to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not, I can't believe they done that. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and he told me about another preacher that's fell out, by the way. It's horrible. And let me tell you something. Whenever that happened, whenever he began telling me about it, I told him with tears in my eyes, I said, preacher, let me tell you something. We're one choice. We're one choice away from that. If you don't think your kids won't mess up, you're crippled too high for crutches. I'm telling you, they're one choice away from it. We're one choice away from it. And that's the reason he said in Galatians that we restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then he goes on to say this, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You said, preach what he's saying, our hands need to be fixed. Real love has hands that help today. They have hands that help today. Real gratitude has willing hands. Our hands need to be fixed. Psalms 116 said this, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Real gratitude has willing hands. It's not just, oh yeah, preacher, we need to do that. It's, hey, preacher, where are we meeting and what time are we doing that? Boy, it got quiet right there. It's not just, yes, sir, preacher, I believe we need to do that. It's, preacher, where are we meeting? What can I do? Is there anything that I can help with? That's what real gratitude is today. Gratitude doesn't see it. Gratitude serves. A thankful heart produces willing hands. And God's been good to you. You don't look for an excuse. You look for an opportunity. Gratitude turns spectators into servants. Show me someone that's not serving and I'll show you someone that is not grateful. Show me somebody that's not serving and I'll show you somebody that's not grateful. I wrote this down. Hands that have received His blessings ought to be busy with His business. You show me someone that's always complaining and I'll show you someone that's not grateful. We need to pray every day. Listen to me right here, and I'm about done, but we need to pray every day. God, get me out of me. Get me out of me. You ever talk to somebody and everything is, I'm dealing with this. My mind is this. I'm going through this. I don't know how to overcome this. You know what the problem is? It's going to get real quiet. You got a bad case of me syndrome. You got a real bad case of me syndrome. It don't take but about a half a second to look around you to realize you're blessed. And that God's been good. And that God's been, you might as well holler amen, that God's been favorable to us. Gratitude today. Well, let me show you one more. Our hearts need to be fixed with salvation. Our heads need to be fixed with scriptural knowledge. Our hands need to be fixed with service. But our eyes today, they need to be fixed. Our eyes need to be fixed on the souls of sinners. Our eyes need to be fixed on the souls of sinners. Mark 16, and I'll deal a lot with this tonight. I really hope you'll come back. But what did he say? He said, go and preach to every creature. He said, preacher, I'm not called to preach, but you're called to share the gospel. Not all are called to preach, but all are called to reach. All are called to reach. I'm going to ask you this today. How many people have you told about the Lord this week? How many people have you invited to church this week? How many gospel tracts have you given out this week? Honestly, if we was all truthful within ourselves, we would be under conviction right now. Our eyes, they need to be fixed on souls. A church without a burden becomes a church without a blessing. A church without a... You want to see God quit blessing Amazing Grace? Let's stop trying to reach souls. You want to see God quit blessing Amazing Grace? Let's cut the missions account out. You want to see God quit blessing Amazing Grace? Let's cut the visitation program out. You want to see God quit blessing Amazing Grace? Let's cut the youth program out. Let me tell you what it is. Our eyes need to be fixed on souls. When our eyes get fixed on sinners headed to hell, our minds stop getting stuck on ourselves. A me-centered life is proof that our eyes aren't fixed on the mission. Miss Daniel, you come start playing. A church that loses sight of sinners, listen to what I'm fixing to say, ultimately loses sight of the Savior. A church that loses sight of sinners ultimately loses sight of the Savior. I'm for, and I want to say this right, I'm all for trying to reach those that once sat on a church pew. I'm all for visiting them. I'm all for sending them a text message. I'm all for loving them. But if you study the parable of the prodigal son, that father never left the house and went and looked for him. Let me tell you the reason he didn't. Because until they came to themselves, he was wasting his time. And so many times, we spend more time trying to run after a crowd that got mad and upset and quit and left. And if they do come back, they're probably going to repeat the same thing within just a few months. When there's people sitting all over Surrey County that's headed to hell that would get saved if somebody would just go tell them. Some things that needs to be fixed. I read this the other day and I found it quite interesting. It was entitled The Broken Violin. A famous violinist once played a priceless concert or a priceless concert violin made by a master craftsman. Its tone filled the hall with warmth, beauty, and power. After the concert, he placed the violin in its case backstage. Later that night, a cleaning worker accidentally knocked the case off the table. The violin crashed to the floor and shattered into pieces. The worker panicked. He swept up the splintered wood, carefully gathered the broken neck and snapped strings, and carried the violin to the master craftsman who originally made it. With tears in his eyes, he said, "I'm sorry, but I broke it. I don't know how it happened. I didn't mean to. It just happened. And now it's broke, and I can't fix it." The master craftsman didn't scold him. He didn't shame him. He simply picked up the pieces, held them gently, and whispered this to the servant. "It's broken, but it's mine. And if it's mine, I can fix it." Weeks later, the craftsman returned the violin, fully restored, tuned, polished, and the music it made after that was even richer than the music it made before. All of us truthfully come to God the same way. "Lord, I broke it. Lord, I broke it." You see, I'm talking about our lives. You know what even Adam did? "Lord, we broke it." You know what we've been saying ever since Adam and Eve? "Lord, I broke it. My heart is broken. My mind is confused. My hands have failed. My eyes have wandered." The God who made you is the only one who can fix you. He can fix you with salvation. He can fix your head with Scripture. He can fix your heart with salvation. He can fix your hands with service. He can fix your eyes with a burden for souls. And when He puts the pieces all back together, the music that your life plays may even be greater than it's ever played before. Give God the broken pieces this morning. And you know what He'll do? He'll fix it. Quit trying to fix it yourself. Truth of the matter is this. That tractor I told you about at the beginning, it ended up being a piece and the manifold, the hydraulic manifold, that was stuck. Brother DC, I don't even know what the hydraulic manifold is. And the truth of the matter is this. I could have kept gomming with it, and to this day, it's still not been fixed. And everything that I needed to get done before they got married that involved that tractor would have still been undone. And even a greater mess now than it was before. I just simply had to put it on the trailer and take it to the man that knew what he was doing. You can keep trying to fix all those little things in your life, and the mess is just going to keep piling up. Or you can load your little self up on a trailer today and drive it right down here to this altar and say, "God, I'm broke. There's some things in my life that I need You to fix. And only You can. So God, here today, I'm giving it to You. And I'm asking You, Lord, fix me today."